Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night, you're listening to Bad Company with Grey Eyes Smith, and this show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. We also have anthologies available on amazon.com under the same moniker, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based on a contest that I ran called Your Favorite Springtime Poem for Bad Company, and so that's the gist of tonight's show. All right, I'm going to post the first poem here into the group. This is called Lady Springtime by T. Perry, 898. Lady Springtime. Through the frost, young shoots are stirring, each to seek the morning dew. Bluebells gently shake their lanterns. Tulips tower bright and bold. Birds exchange excited chatter. Soon a chorus shall ensue. Snowdrops share their milky splendor as the days of spring unfold. With its golden shawl, Forsythia brings forth excited bees. Stately branches draped in sunshine tower up to kiss the sky. Winter conites are creeping, buds are swelling in the trees, and our banquet is completed by a cloud of butterflies. Crocuses make fleeting patterns. Bold anemones ignite all the dark secluded places on the fringe of the park. Hyacinths shall cast their perfume in the early morning light as our precious Lady Springtime slowly steps out from the dark. End poem. And wow, that was beautiful. You know, you could picture it all as you read through it. It really harkens to the message of spring and the splendor that it brings. It's such a beautiful thing watching all these buds burst through the branches and, you know, stately branches draped in sunshine tower up to kiss the sky. Such a pretty, pretty imagery there. Crocuses make fleeting patterns. Bold anemones ignite all the dark secluded places on the fringes of the park. Hyacinths shall cast their perfume in the early morning light as our precious Lady Springtime slowly steps out from the dark. Beautiful poem. Thank you so much for sharing that, T. Perry. All right. I'm going to post the next poem here. And
you do realize we have speed limits here, right?
I'm sorry, no.
Careful now. You get a ticket for that.
Hi, Phil.
Moving too quick. Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
How are you? You know, there's no sense complaining, right? You know.
Yeah.
What a great topic. You know, spring is wonderful for a topic, as is autumn. They're two wonderful seasons. I think T. Perry did an excellent job with this. It was beautiful imagery all throughout. And each of his stanzas was really remarkable. I kind of picked one because I could have picked all of them, you know. But with its golden shawl, Forsythia brings forth excited bees. Stately branches draped in sunshine tower up to kiss the sky. Winter aconites are creeping. Buds are swelling in the trees. And our banquet is completed by the cloud of butterflies. Just beautiful images all the way through. You know, there's just as many in the last and the first stanza. Just really incredible work. And T. Perry, you know, has a way with writing poetry. And that's not a surprise to me. But this was just genuinely beautiful. So thank you so much, T. Perry, for writing for the show. Excellent.
Great comment, Phil. Thank you. Okay, Phil, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Well, God, now you want me to work. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
I'm just playing. Let me see now. By Melanie Edwards, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can make this a little bit larger. Okay, A New Spring by Melanie Edwards. I haven't seen Melanie's work in a long time. She used to be a lot more visible on the shows. So it's good to have her back and see her to your posting. Okay, A New Spring by Melanie Edwards. Walking on the ash road, charcoal circles gather dust, lost beneath the ledge of stranger sorrow, waiting for the night to crumble under the waning moon. That lit this field that bled the land upon a breaking dawn. Lost on the horizon, blowing out yesterday's flickering flame, as shadows slowly fade to gray, waiting for the day to unbuckle night's tourniquet, for meadows to run wild in melting poppies, amongst morning's marigold, for wings to whisper songs of solitude under canopies of emerald gold. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bill. And I enjoyed the poem. You know, it had fantastic imagery throughout the poem, and you could feel it all unfolding as you read it. Lost on the horizon, blowing out yesterday's flickering flame, as shadows slowly fade to gray, waiting for the day to unbuckle night's tourniquet, for meadows to run wild in melting poppies against morning's marigold, for wings to whisper songs of solitude under canopies of emerald gold. I didn't mean to read that whole stanza, but I couldn't help it. So,
yeah, no, you can't. Yeah.
Excellent write, Melanie. And what did you think of the write, Phil?
You know, I thought it was a wonderful write myself. I thought it was a lovely piece. Excellent imagery throughout. And I thought she painted a great image or a great picture from beginning to end. And I think that, it was an excellent piece. She says here, "Oh, my story, bad. I haven't written in a long time. Sit under the weather." Well, I'm sorry to hear that she's been under the weather, but I don't think that this is any less of a piece than anything else I've ever seen her write. She always writes beautiful work. So thank you so much, Melanie. Wonderful job.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bill. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm posting the next poem up here. This is called "Spring Trees" by Robert Pulleski. Like a perpetual birthday bouquet, springtime comes every year. Chatterbox of greens awaken, rouse each day, is born of the fountain of eternal exuberance. Mild breeze greets skin as butterfly wings greet the air with a gentle, uplifting confidence. Though the calendar says it's winter for a few weeks yet, the trees tell me it's spring. Magnolia creams and pinks arrive like cake frosting. Petals burst out from lower down the branches, leaving the tips still in tight bud. Polka dot green limbs of trees have shed their winter covers, stretch into the sky, seek sun for new buds they shelter within. The wind had lost its fight, blowing branches, but no longer stealing their warmth. There's a playfulness in nature, in the skies, woodland, and soil. The time of plenty is coming. Joy of coming abundance energizes the air, diffuses kisses from the divine. I spread my fingers wide, and I fan them through the damp air, like a kid trying to fly. Inevitably, spring is here." End poem. And, just a beautiful write, Robert. You had fantastic imagery, and you could feel the beauty of spring emerging in your write, with though the calendar says it's winter for a few weeks yet, the trees tell me it's spring. Magnolia creams and pinks arrive like cake frosting. Petals burst out from lower down the branches, leaving the tips still in tight bud. You can picture all that as you read it. Beautiful, right, Robert? What did you think, Bill?
What I was saying was beautifully penned piece. Great imagery, throughout this piece. I was going to go with the piece, the section that you spoke on. Wow, my brain just went completely blank. About the magnolia creams and pinks arrive like cake frosting. What a wonderful stanza that was. But I also have to say, I thought there were so many great lines and stanzas throughout, and I thought it was awesome work. I had, let me see what I did, Rob. I don't know what I did. I might have picked the same one still. There's a playfulness in nature, in the skies, woodland, and soil. The time of plenty is coming. Joy of coming abundance energizes the air, diffuses kisses from the divine. I spread my fingers wide, fan them through the damp air like a kid trying to fly. Inevitably, spring's here. I thought that was a great way to tie this piece up, and it was an excellent job. And much enjoyed the read, and great job, Robert. So thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Phil. That was a wonderful comment. Okay, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading it, please.
Once again, he's got a camera, too. Okay, this is called "Don't Pay Any Mind to Me, I'm Silly Today." "Longing for Spring" by H.F. Knopf. The snowflakes, let me try that again in English. The snowflakes gently fall from ashen skies and waft amidst the softly swirling breeze. They turn into a mantle rising high atop the white encrusted lofty trees. And sitting by my brightly blazing fire and gazing through the frosted windowpane, I long to see the bitter cold expire and feel the warmth of springtime once again. When golden sunlight bathes the cloudless sky and budding blossoms dress the naked trees, when butterflies that gaily flutter by all perch upon the flowers and the leaves, when I can lie at ease upon the strand and gaze upon the sunlight sparkling sea, while children build their castles in the sand, not shackled by this chill that bothers me. End poem.
Beautiful read, Phil. And I really liked it. You know, it's very creative. You know, you can picture him sitting by the fire and looking out that frosted window pane, hoping for this warmth of springtime once again. I mean, I think we all do that. You know, we all look through that frosted window and hope that springtime's coming soon, that what are they called? Groundhog doesn't see its shadow and go back into the ground for another 6 weeks. But no, that was a beautiful rate. You know, when golden sunlight bathes the cloudless sky and budding blossoms dress the naked trees, when butterflies that gaily flutter by all perch upon the flowers and the leaves. Yeah, a fantastic rate. And a pleasure to hear you read it, Phil. Excellent read. And what did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought it was an excellent piece and beautifully expressed thoughts. I thought there was great imagery throughout. I like how he dedicated, like, the first two stanzas to trying to, like, sweep winter out of the way. Go, go, be gone, you know? I long to see the bitter cold expire and feel the warmth of springtime once again. You know, but then he steps into these last two stanzas that I thought were beautifully worded. You quoted the one, and the next one is, when I can lie at ease upon the strand, and gaze upon the sunlit sparkling sea, while children build their castles in the sand, not shackled by this chill that bothers me. You know, he's looking into a more pleasant future here as to spending time, you know, for the children and himself. And I thought that was just really nicely put together, you know, and stated. So excellent job, A. Sacknoff. Thanks for sharing. Much enjoyed.
Great comment, Phil. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to grab the next poem here, and I'll post this up. Okay, here we go. And this is by BlueWrite67. Or BlueWrite76, sorry. It's called Reborn with Spring. By the salty tropical shores, cold winds, the brown and stern stood. Okay, I'm going to start this over. Reborn with spring. By the salty tropical shores, cold winds and brown, the brown and stems stood. When spring's sun cheerful chirps herald the silent deers we passionately watered. Curtains rose as tiny leaves sprouted from Easeman, the most reserved, darling of them all. Flowers reborn as spring rewarded the hopefuls, deers past their winters flying in color, in flying colors. End poem. And he says in his author's notes, we wait after every winter for the plants to turn green as spring brings hope and color. And comment. But no, that was a well-packed little brevity. You know, it's got the beauty of the unfolding plant in the springtime light, which is a wonderful thing. And I think it's something we all look forward to and admire. And hello, Weaver. I see you.
Oh, I see now. She's in the room? Let me just peek over there. See what she is up to. I have to send her an invite. That's what I want to see. She wanted to come and play. Yes, I thought this was a wonderful write by BlueWrite76. Oh, my God, I'm telling you, my brain is detached. Lovely piece, and I thought it was a great picture of spring unfolding, kind of unfolding in front of your eyes. And I thought that was wonderful. Curtains roses, tiny leaves sprouted from even the most reserved darling of them all. Flowers reborn as spring rewarded the hopeful. Years past their winters in flying colors. Just nicely done. It really was a sincere and an honest expression of spring. I think would be a good way to put it. You never think of words for one of my friends at one point. But at least I'm honest. Yeah, nicely done. And thank you so much, Blue Right 76. Much appreciated the read tonight. Okay, I'm going to send a little invite. Tell her it's coming.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Bill, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
That's for me, eh? Okay. Give me a second and let me know. Let me do that. Let me do that. Let me do that. And I sent that. So now let me go back over here and go back over there. And this is by Patty Mike, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So did that. Pretty Trees. Pretty Trees in Spring by Patty Mike. Pretty Trees in Spring, the dogwood flowers are in full and let me try this again. Here we go. It's not that complicated. Pretty Trees in Spring by Patty Mike. Pretty Trees in Spring, the dogwood's flowers on lovely bloom. Veiled in virgin white like the bride and her groom on their wedding night. Until the photosynthesis dons the leaves green. Ending the season of bloom. The story of the pretty trees in spring. Nice. End poem.
Beautiful read, Phil. And I liked it. You know, I mean, dogwoods are our national, our provincial flower. So they're a protected tree here in BC. So, you know, I like that he used dogwood as the flower reference. And then until photosynthesis dawns, the leaves into green, ending the season of bloom, the story of the pretty trees in spring. Yeah, fantastic, right, Mike? Patty Mike. And what did you think, Bill?
You know, I thought it was a nice write. I thought it was lovely. And a great brevity, speaking on the beauty of the dogwood tree. Dogwoods are a wonderful tree. I'm not sure if your dogwood and my dogwood are the same dogwood. Because I've seen someone say, oh, that's a dogwood. And I look at it and I'm like, that's not a dogwood I've ever seen. So I'm not sure, but they are beautiful trees. And the story of the dogwood is beautiful. But that's another thing I love in Jones. But yes, I thought it was beautifully done. And there's not a whole lot of lines, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines. And I think it was just really well expressed. So, great job, Patty Mike, and thank you for sharing with us.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bill. All right, I'm posting the next poem here. This is by St. John 9999, and it's called Autumn. Arrive, in riot of colors, sending hearts and minds haywire. Joy knows no bounds. You are here. I liked it. Powerful little brevity, speaking to the arrival of autumn. Yeah, that relates to spring, but that's okay. It's a beautiful little poem anyway. And arrive in a riot of colors, sending hearts and minds haywire. Joy knows no bounds. You are here. Fantastic little poem. And what did you think, Bill?
You know, it's funny because you mentioned autumn, and it really, you know, it's true, but it's the same can be said of spring. You know, it arrives in a riot of colors. You know, the flowers pop. The purples, the yellows, the whites, the pinks start to just rise out of the ground, you know? And so kind of it's similar. You know, it's in reverse, but it's similar. You know, the beauty of spring is things are coming back to life. And autumn, everything is getting ready to sleep. So it is a great piece. And I totally think it was well done. So thank you so much for sharing with us St. John 9999. And Greg, I need to take a step away from me. So you're going to have to hang on. Okay?
Okay. All right. So this next poem is called When She Came to Town by Vamped Vixen. Fixing her hair and eating a sweet roll, she shined soft sunlight over this gray winter afternoon, blanketing broken shards of me in springtime ivy vines, clearing my frozen branches. Clouds wept empty, creating rainbow spotlights for sunbeams, giggles, splashing, and street puddles full with lightness of dancing boots. Springtime spread through the tundra's blizzard as parades bloomed flowers and marching bands finally got love's timing right. Slowly at first, but picking up speed and rhythm, her carnival sang songs in me, teaching all new circus tricks, goosebumps of a tender touch, aerobatics of balanced trust, and as if by one, all fair midway games, she prized me with a kiss. No more was love rigged or fixed while we swung in time to the sweet hymns of spring. End poem. And she says in her author's notes, fixing her hair and eating a sweet roll, first stanza graciously borrowed from Gary D. Thomas. But I liked it. You know, it's on spot. You know, it really hits the nail on the head as far as the warmth and the pleasure that spring brings, you know, blanketing broken shards of me in springtime ivy vines, clearing my frozen branches. I mean, that's just beautiful. And spring does have a healing nature to it. You know, it really repairs the damages that winter has caused, you know, and uplifts the spirit so beautifully. So excellent, right, Vamped Vixen? And thank you for sharing. And I'd like to welcome Kate Weaver to the show, Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Weaver. Hello, Weaver.
That's when you said hello, Kate.
Hello.
Weaver.
Hello. You're it. Hello.
Hi, Weaver.
Hello. My thingy has dropped out again. That's the story of my life.
I've heard stories about people that lose their singer.
That's it. But I feel great because I was unmuted by that wonderful voice, so I'm feeling happy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did you get a chance to hear that poem by Vamped Vixen?
No, I'm sorry, I did not. I was fighting with the radio gods again.
Oh, okay. How about yourself? Did you get a chance to hear the read?
I did not because I had to step away. But I am giving it a quick once over here. I'm looking. I think that this was a nice read and a nice write. I should say nice write, because I did not hear you read it, unfortunately. Slowly at first, but picking up speed and rhythm, her carnival sang songs in me, teaching all new circus tricks, goosebumps of a tender touch, acrobatics and balanced trust. And as if I won all fair midway games, she prized me with a no more was love rigged or fixed, while we swung in time to the sweet hymns of spring. A lovely sentiment. There's that last stanza and the two, the six lines after. I don't know if I would call them stanzas because I think they were done a little more for impact. But I thought it was, fixing your hair and eating a sweet roll. She used that as her prompt. But it was lovely. I mean, it was all lovely as I went through and gave a quick run through. Trust the timing of your life. That's an intriguing image that she used on the piece. And it was just a nice job. So thank you, Vamped Vixen. Much enjoyed. I'm sorry I wasn't more on the money with it than being right here. But it was nicely done.
Thank you, Phil. Excellent comment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Weaver, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Of course, no problem. So we have top classic poem titles merged and edited into a new poem called Classic Revisited. What if the raven takes the road less travelled, but doesn't go gently into the night to the wasteland, but stops by the woods on a snowy night, then wanders on lonely till it meets the highwayman? While on Flanders fields they were mending a broken wall, using a red wheelbarrow and wearing masks, for 'twas a poison tree, and then howling winds at midnight, but their success is measured sweetest as a red, red rose. And Annabelle wandering lonely as a cloud on Psalm of Life, she strides in beauty on Dover Beach, truly searching, looking for the beloved second coming with a love song, becoming an ode to the beloved nightingale, and declaring that hope is the fleeting thing with feathers, the soft song of myself waiting his call. But death be not proud, because I still rise, for I could not stop to die crossing the bar. Then the highwayman says, shall I compare you to a summer's day? I'm nobody. Who are you? Merely a song of yourself or a dream within a dream of fire, and ice seeing Annabelle Lee with Edgar Allan. Continuing, poems of frost at midnight, no man is an island, and the love songs which gear a story of myself, but shall I compare you to the sailor in the poem of the Ancient Mariner? Summary. These 37 classic poem titles merged, paint a picture of nature and life cycle, man's dreams, fears, and desires that I hope you enjoy. Can you pick out the 37? Oh, yes, I can. So you want me to read them? You want me to read the 37?
No.
Number 37, Dover Beach by Arnold, A Dream Within a Dream by Poe. Ta-da! And Poe.
Yeah. Great read, Weaver. And I like the poem. I mean, you know, he really captured the essence of the rites in his poem. You know, it's a fantastic way to capture poetry in poetry. You know, it speaks to each one of these poems by bringing it to light in his own way, which is a talented thing. It's definitely clever and definitely thought-provoking, for sure. What did you think, Bill?
You know, I thought it was a clever write. I don't know if I would have had the patience to look up 32 other poem titles. I'm just not that girl, you know. Then again, there's a lot of things I don't have patience for. So, but no, it's not only rumor. It's really true. But I thought it was well done, and it was much enjoyed. I thought, because every time I would hear a title, I'd go, clever, clever, clever fella. I thought it was a great job and a wonderful piece. So thanks, Doc Frank, for sharing with us tonight. Much enjoyed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Phil. And Weaver, what did you think?
I thought it was absolutely delightful. And what an incredibly great idea. I mean, and he did it so well, didn't he? I mean, as you say, every time you came across one that you recognized, you go, all right, and what's he going to do with this? And he managed to merge all into this one amazing story without any seeing any joins or there being anything awkward in it. So I think it was very, very, very clever, and I'm very impressed. I wasn't going to read all those 37 titles because I would have been here all night, but it was wonderful. So thank you so much, and forgive me for not reading them, Doc Frank.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay. That's wonderful. Okie dokie, Bill. You're up next, please.
Okay. Well, let me make this really big. Okay. This is called Spring Scene by Charlie Swig. I was woken early on a springtime morning, sort of suddenly, and sans a single warning. I rubbed my eyes and I scratched my head. Next thing I know, spring slips into my bed. She says she painted my front lawn green. I look outside so I can say I saw the scene. As I watched my dogwood begin to bloom, I saw it, I swear, right there from my room. The songbirds sang in a brand new season. Butterflies bobbed without rhyme or reason. A bunny rabbit hopped with lopping bounds. The air was filled full with nature's sounds. Wildflowers danced in a yellow daisy glade, each one a portrait that sweet spring made. Pieces of spring were strewn for many miles when its chilly mornings and warmer smiles, with its chilly morning and warmer smiles and home.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful read, Phil.
And home, yes,
and
yes. Thank you.
I enjoyed it. You know, I really had a wonderful cadence to it. And, you know, you can picture spring slips into his bed. She says, she painted my front lawn green. I look outside so I can say I saw the scene. I watched as my dogwood began to bloom. I saw it, I swear, right there from my room. I mean, that's fantastic. Powerfully engaging and definitely an excellent scene painted there. So beautiful job. Weaver, what did you think?
I'll tell you when I can find it. My God. you really should not have had me on tonight. Everything's going to go pear-shaped. Oh, yes, I got it. Is it Spring Scene? Is it Spring Scene?
It is Spring Scene, yes.
Spring
yes,
scene.
Ma'am.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Yes, oh, that's, yeah, I heard it, so obviously I know it's beautiful, and now I can see it. Yes. Dogwood bloom. I would love to see a dogwood bloom. I don't even know what it is, but it sounds lovely. So, yes, suddenly it's spring, and she's out of bed and having a wonderful time watching all the things going on. Oh, man, that last stanza. Wildflowers dance in a yellow daisy glade, each one a portrait, that sweet spring made. Pieces of spring were strewn for many miles. Pieces of spring were strewn for many miles. With its chilly mornings and warmer smiles. Yeah, that is spring, isn't it? The birds are singing and the bunnies are out hopping. So I think that's just beautifully, beautifully written about something that is actually really enjoyable after a long winter. So, yeah, very, very sprightly, I thought. So thank you.
There you go.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Bill, what did you think?
Oh, you know, this was a wonderful piece. I thought it was a great write. I loved the imagery and the rhyme, and I totally loved the read. You know, to read it, I liked that. It just rolled nicely until I got the last line, and I messed it up. And for that, I apologize. But it was just fabulous, and I enjoyed each stanza. I wanted to pull one, but it's like, God, they're all nice. I loved the first one because I wasn't sure where he was going to go with that. You know, spring slips into my bed, but then. Each one after that just came up with wonderful image after wonderful image. Everything was so relatable that, you know, when you read it, you could see it. You know, just all of it, because it's something we've all seen before, at least in one shape or form or another, you know. Of course, it didn't unfold quite like his poem, but it was definitely fabulous. So great job, Charlie's Waiting. I really liked it a lot.
Great comment, Phil. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Blues Man, and it's called The Change. Amidst the fog and freezing rain, leaching out of death row's chill, so winter gasps in its final refrain as snow recedes from verdant hill. Headwaters burst through thinning ice, bringing sweet music to babbling brook. Fishing pole dormant does now entice to venture from cabin and have a look. Honking geese announce their return, leaving the monarchs to follow behind. From cabin fever, I so begin to yearn to go out and wonder at God's design. Fragrant blooms exploding in breeze, salacious scent permeates spring air. Leaf-green buds spread crown of trees, drawn from a palette of heavenly fare. My arthritic bones begin to warm, blissfully basking in the radiant sun. I patiently wait for spring's first storm, now that planting season's begun. And boom. Well, that was beautiful. I mean, you can picture all that as you read through it, you know, the changing of the season. You know, winter gasps its final refrain as snow recedes from verdant hill. Headwaters burst through thinning ice, bringing sweet music to babbling brook. Fishing pole dormant does now entice to venture from cabin and have a look. You know, you can picture that scene as you read it, which is wonderful to do. And yeah, it was a well done poem. Excellent, right, Blues Man? Thank you for sharing. Bill, what did you think?
I liked the piece. I really did. You know, I thought it was nicely penned and great rhyme and nice imagery. And I thought it was very well done. And I was just at the point where I was trying to find that stanza that I wanted, you know. But the stanza was really nicely written. Honking geese announced a return, leaving the monarchs to follow behind. From cabin fever, I still begin to yearn to go out and wander through God's design. That's a lovely stanza right there, because when it comes to spring, we're all ready to get out the door and like just go see the world again, you know. See that new picture painted. You know, come spring, you know, it's a wonderful palette. Winter clears everything off, and spring just paints that next picture. And I think that's just a beautiful thing. So great job, Blues Man, and really appreciate this piece. It was nicely done. Absolutely. And I can relate to that last stanza as well. My heart's ready, bones begin to win. Yes, yes, yes. I've been on that. But, yeah, great job.
Excellent comment, Phil. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
I like the fact that this the prompt tonight is about that one particular thing, because it's lovely to see everybody writing about it. You know, and they all have their different views and their different cadence. And this is another beauty. I really like this to change. Because that's exactly what it is. You change from that cold winter grasp to something that looks as though it's going to start getting really lovely, when you can hear the babbling brooks, you can hear the geese coming back. Well, if they're coming back, it's got to be good. Leaving the monarchs to follow. Now, monarchs to follow behind. Now, is that a butterfly? Or is
yeah,
it is a butterfly.
Monarch butterflies. I assume that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Because we have I used to have a cousin who had, who was in the Monarchs, which was a bike racing team. And I'm thinking, oh, the Monarchs are coming back. That was quite a while ago. But it's not them. And yes, like you, I relate to that last one. My poor old knees ain't what they used to be. But yes, it was just, it was beautifully written. It was so, bright. Bright and breezy, and it bubbled along, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you, Blues Man. It was a lovely read. Great.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. Would you mind reading the next one, please, Weaver?
Of course, no problem. You just bear with me. I'll get there sometime tonight. I keep forgetting. Oh, here we are. I got it. Right. A Spring Haiku Chain. Oh, A Spring Haiku Chain, you know, by Poetic Prince R.W. Carnation cuteness, class ceremony commence, graduation day. Bed rose redolence, lily scent countryside dew, springtime perfumes cues. Orchids of blue bloom, valley violet, tulips hues, geraniums soothes. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And I enjoyed the poem, you know. I guess it's three poems in a row, but they all tie in quite nicely together. I really enjoyed the middle stanza. Red rose redolence, lily scent countryside dew, springtime perfume cues. You know, springtime has such a wonderful perfume to the air, you know, it with all the blooms and blossom, and I thought he did a beautiful job of capturing the essence of spring quite wonderfully. What did you think, Bill?
You know, I thought this was, a beautiful haiku chain, well written and well done. When I saw this last year, that's what I had written, and it definitely has not lost anything as time has gone by. Really nicely done.
Excellent,
so great
comment.
Job, Poetic Prince. Mm-hmm.
Great comment. Thanks, Phil. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem that you read?
It was, yes, it was wonderful. Slightly tongue-twisty, but I think I managed not too badly. And I love the fact that each one is of a flower, which is a wonderful way to tie the three together. So you have the beauty of the haiku, but you have three different flowers to, or more, actually, because there's a geranium in there. Yeah, so I thought it was very cleverly done and very sweet. Yeah, it's got a sweetness about it. Carnation cuteness. Of course it has, yeah. Carnation cuteness. Class ceremony commence. Graduation day. Again, is that a tradition to have carnations on graduation day? Or am I, again, just reading something into something that's not there? Well, it should be. If it's not, it certainly should be. That's all I've got to say on the matter. Wonderfully done. I really enjoyed it. Very clever. And thank you so much for sharing. Poetic Prince.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right. Bill, would you mind reading the next one, please?
You betcha, you betcha. Yeah, I have to agree with you, Shelley. It's a great, great piece. Absolutely. We have Shelley A.B. in the room, and she's commenting like crazy on all these pieces. She's going to call and express it on the air. Okay, this is called A Rapture of Divine Perfection by Randa Yoshri. In an epic fashion runway show with pink uplifting theme horizon, the enchantress supermodel nature sashays down the hostess springs, honeyed catwalk sun with a glossy green meadow cape and a chic thigh-high heeled treat, adorned her feet wearing eye-catching colorful flowery makeup. In a friendly smile granting a guided tour ride with gentle warm-up exercises, at a slow pedaling cadence to burn calories of tension and boost mentality's fit. My lame life owes its cure to nature's healing skills, walking to its ataraxias, crutches to glean inspiration and secure life from subjection, the rebel star, and poem.
Beautiful read, Phil. And I enjoy the poem. You know, I like the personification of spring as a fashion model, coming down nature's runway, wearing trees for boots, and, you know, in a friendly smile, granting a guided tour with gentle warm-up exercises at slow pedaling cadence to burn calories of tension and boost mentality's fitness. You know, spring does have that healing, anti-sad, nature to it. You know, it's definitely uplifting and inspirational, in my opinion. So beautiful, right, Rhonda? And I appreciate your sharing. Thank you so much. Weaver, what did you think?
I thought this was particularly, again, it's sweet. There's something about these spring poems that bring out the sweet, and I like that a lot. It's a lovely idea in an epic fashion runway show with pink uplifting theme horizon. The enchantress supermodel nature sashes down the hostess's springs, honey catwalk sun. I think that it's absolutely beautiful. Such a clever idea, again, personifying the actual season to give you a different slant and a different idea, which is great. But, you know, we're reading so many and they're all so different. I do like that last stanza, though, because they're always the best, I think. My lame life owes its cure to nature's healing skills, walking on, and Taryxia clutches to glean inspiration and secure life from subjection to the rebel sorrow. Yeah, that is a clever stanza. Very, very good. Yeah, I think the whole thing was masterfully done and I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Rhonda. Mm-hmm.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Phil, what did you think?
You know, I love the way that she gave spring the human trait to the runway model. I thought it was clever. And I really, you know, I enjoyed that. The whole first stanza, you know, an epic fashion runway show, all the way down to the flowery makeup. I just grabbed the whole piece because I thought that was so start to finish. I thought it was complete, and I liked that very much. Everything past there was good, But something about that first stanza just kind of, you know, I wanted to give her a high five on it because it was nice. Nice work. Absolutely. So thank you, Randy. Hope to see you again soon.
Great comment, Bill. And I had to look up ataraxia. And the meaning of ataraxia is calmness, untroubled by mental or emotional disquiet. So that's a beautiful word.
Yeah.
I enjoy her. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. So the next one is by Poetic Picasso, and he has a SoundCloud. So I will play that.
He does.
Once I post this to the group. Oh, wrong group. Almost sent it to the wrong group.
You're like, what is he doing?
And Shelley said in the group, very clever. I really like the catwalk comparison, as it is like nature is ready for Fashion Week in spring, showing us the beauty she can offer. All right, mm-hmm. So this next poem is called The Spring Shade by Poetic Picasso, and I will play the SoundCloud for that.
Your lips are the soft petals of a springtide carnation blossoming. You dance so gracefully like a ballerina upon the morning zephyr, blowing upon the glossy texture of the caressive fibers of your hair, as your eyes enrapture me with a sparkling gleam of redundancy. The sun shines upon your skin, its autumn rays over motley butterflies. Your scent is like the fresh fragrance of an odoriferous perfume I smell. I listen to the sweet hymns of the celestial choir of nightingales, serenading me with the dulcet tone of their sonnets of harmonies. You roam within the maze of the kaleidoscopic realm of light, the illumination of the awakened dawn with its floral seduction, and your tenderness is like a blanket of fine strands of gossamers. I am mesmerized by the incantation of your sublime beauty revealed. The touch of your fingers is the gentle feather of my healing. I want to lay in the bosom of your flowery buds awaiting, like a dream in an animated garden of twinkling radiance. I sleep till the night has slumbered into the spring shade of our love. Respiro tu nombre con mis susurros, eres la cara de la primavera naciente. I breathe your name with my whispers, you are the face of the nascent spring. Oh, I breathe your name with my whispers, you are the face of the nascent spring. In the poem.
Well, amazing SoundCloud, Frank. And I really enjoyed your poem. You know, you really bring seduction and sensuality into spring with your trademark flair. The sun shines upon your skin as auburn rays over motley butterflies. Your scent is like the fresh fragrance of an odoriferous perfume I smell. I listen to the sweet hymns of the celestial choir of nightingales, serenading me with the dulcet tone of their sonnets of harmonies. It's a beautiful poem, Frank. Excellent write and a fantastic read as well. So thank you for sharing, Frank. Much appreciated. And, beautiful job, Frank. What did you think, Bill?
I knew you were going to come to me because I was looking for something. I thought this was just a beautiful write, sensual and full of great imagery. The audio, as always, was wonderful. And I have to say there's just so many great lines and stanzas and crossovers and thought, oh, gosh, where do I want to look? The touch of your fingers is the gentle feather of my healing. I want to lay in the bosom of your flowery buds, awaiting like a dream in an animated garden of twinkling radiance. I sleep till the night has slumbered into the spring shade of her love. That's a beautiful a set of lines right there. That's very well written. And I also love that last one, that last stanza. I breathe your name with my whispers. You are the face of the nascent spring. Just beautiful. You're right, Gray. I have to agree with you. His sensual and seductive pieces are just lovely and wonderful, you know, only seconded by his horror pieces. Just saying, right, Weaver? I'm right there, aren't I? But I thought that this was really nicely done. So well done, Frank, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Phil. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, I agree with you, Phil. His sensual poetry is only topped by his scary stuff with that scary laugh that kills me every time. I'm under the table, by golly. Yes, this was beautiful, Frank. I really enjoyed this. Your ability to play with words the way you do it's a gift, and we really appreciate it. But for a change, for me, it was the first few lines that really caught my attention. Your lips are the soft petals of a springtide carnation blossoming. You dance so gracefully like a ballerina upon the morning zephyr. Ah, beautiful, beautiful. Yes, I really enjoyed it. I like the sweeter, softer side. It's very endearing. So thank you so much for sharing with us. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. But yeah, Shelley said about his poem, a sensual piece that perfectly describes how spring can be mesmerizing, like a new love that gives you everything you lacked throughout the cold, dark winter months. So yeah, just a wonderful comment. And she also says, sorry, I haven't called in to comment. Unsure how to call in from the UK, but I can't sleep and enjoying the show. So yeah. But enjoying participating.
Right, right. Shelley, I'm going to send you a message.
All right, so I've got the next piece up. We're into the open poetry part now. So this is called Spring's Dawn by Gray Eye Smith. Frost melts in dewdrop. Birds flock as buds pop. Winds refresh and clean, sweeping away the remnants. Petals emerge. Snows diverge, bringing forth a newborn surge. Babies at play, spring dawn, spring's dawn, this new day. End poem. What did you think, Bill?
I don't know. I have to read it. I'm sorry, Greg. I was sending a Shelley a message. So if you and Weaver could go, then I'll be ready. Promise.
Okay. Weaver, what did you think?
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I've got the same problem. I do apologize. That's terrible. I'm with you in a moment. I went to the wrong page.
You know, Gray, this is really a beautiful piece. I like how you started off. You know, frost melts and dewdrop. Birds flock as buds pop. Winds refresh and clean, sweeping away the remnants of life that has been. You know, because it's the truth. As spring comes, you know, it kind of wipes out those not so distant memories of winter. You know, it kind of erases a lot of that because it disappears. It transforms, and it transforms into the beauty of spring. So I kind of like that. I think that, you know, that was a lot of truth there. And then petals emerge, snow diverge, bringing forth a newborn surge. Babies at play, spring is born this new day. That stanza there is also true, you know, because with spring comes new rebirth in a lot of ways, you know. Sometimes it's, you know, the animals. Sometimes, you know, it's just the earth itself just rejuvenates and changes and becomes new again. And I think that that's wonderful. Spring is dawn, this new day. Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a lovely, lovely piece. And a lot said in this brevity. And I do apologize for not being ready. I was sending Shelley a message trying to help her figure out how to call in. So that was
my
I see. Because I figured, what the heck, right? But yes, just really lovely. And thanks for putting it up. I liked it. I liked it a lot. How did I miss
that? Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, Weaver, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I have to say that picture is absolutely the loveliest thing I've seen for a long time. I love the color. So pink and violet. Anyway, never mind. Sorry. This poetry was so... What's the word I'm looking for? It was so... uplifting. That's the word, uplifting, because a long cold winter can do nasty things to the psyche, where we don't really want to get out of bed in the morning and blah, blah, blah. And when the snow comes down, it's lovely, and then it becomes dirty and yellow and horrible. So you really want it to go. So you have captured that beautifully. That last stanza, so nice. Petals emerge, snows diverge, bringing forth a newborn surge, babies at play, spring's dawn, this new day. Really lovely. And as I say, in a brevity, you know, packing all that into a brevity is magical. So thank you so much. And I enjoyed your read too. It was lovely.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. Okie dokie, Phil, I've got the next piece up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Not at all, but before I read this, I'd like to explain to everybody. I haven't lost my senses. It does say spring's release, and it does start out autumn's oak, because this is a series of pieces, and it started out with an autumn poem, and then went to a winter poem, and then went to a spring poem. So I haven't lost my mind yet, but I'm close. I'm close. So here we go. This is called Spring's Release, and it's by me. Imagine that. Autumn's oak rises to a different touch, slipping out of her chrysalis of snow and ice, seeing only the sun's warm glow. His warmth envelops her, freeing her from the cold. Her arms reach out to him as he renews her soul. His loving touch has released her once again. She is free. Winter's cold grip erased from her memory as if it had never been, buds of hope bursting from within. The sun guides her now, watching her as she blossoms, blanketed in the soft fragrance of spring flowers. She soaks in the warm and gentle touch of soft rain upon her new form. Sun's rays grow strong as the days pass, beckoning her closer. She grows. End quote.
Well, beautiful read, Phil. And I really enjoyed your poem. You know, it's very detailed in its imagery. Seeing only the sun's warm glow, his warmth envelops her, freeing her from the cold. Her arms reach out to him as he renews her soul. His loving touch has released her. Once again, she is free. And then, you know, it just carries on with that beautiful cadence and the wonderful imagery as well. So fantastic write, Phil. Excellent job. And
Thank you, Greg.
What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, this was lovely. This was really, I liked it a lot. I like the her arms reach out to him as he renews her soul. His loving touch has released her. Once again, she is free. Again, personification of an inanimate object is just wonderfully done. And I love that. I think it's such a clever idea. But there are so many, every stanza is just lovely. Sorry, I'm getting carried away. I love this particular prompt. It's just brought out so many beautiful poems, and this, the sun guides her now, watching her as she blossoms, blanketed in the soft fragrance of spring flowers. It made me like spring a lot more than I ever did before, and I probably look at it in a different way completely. So yes, I think this is really, I just pretty and sweet and light and bright and so many of those things that it just makes it such a pleasure to listen to. So thank you for sharing.
You.
That was
thank
lovely.
God.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Bill, would you like to tell me about your poem?
You know, it was just one of those whims. I did the autumn poem, and I was kind of like, yes, yes, yes. And then I went into the winter poem. And then I was like, well, I can do one in spring. And I got silly and started writing on that. And they all followed the same vein. But, you know, I kind of enjoyed them because they were different. It was a different perspective on the season. And, yeah, I thought it was just fun for me. So I'm glad you guys liked it. That means a lot. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, we certainly loved
absolutely.
It.
And Shelley AB says, cool progression as spring is just one of a cycle of seasons that are becoming more and more confused in modern times.
True.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we were looking at my green
screen. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to be quiet.
Would you mind reading the next one, Weaver?
I would be happy to. Why am I singing? Goodness sake. Oh, my goodness me. I'm in a good mood. It's just all this spring has sprung stuff. Right. Spring by Shelley A.B. Seeing the bursting emergence of emerald leaves, I see wonder in the new life spring breathes. It's in the crisp, sharpened blades of grass. It's in the stems, children's hands up in class. I see the glory in the colors flashing on the day that our seasons are clashing. When the old wind gives way to the fresh air, a spring away with its cold stare, embracing your eyes with the wonders of new, revealing to you what nature can do. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And I love the poem. She did a wonderful job of, you know, capturing the beauty that is spring. And it's in the crisp, sharpened blades of grass. It's in the stems, children's hands held up in class. Yeah, beautiful poem. Excellent read as well, Weaver. What did you think, though?
You know, I put this as a great poem. I like the first couple of stanzas. You know, seeing the bursting emergence of emerald leaves, I see wonder in the new leaf spring breeds. It's in the crisp, sharpened blades of grass. It's in the stems, children's hands up in class. You know, it's that new year, well, not new year, but new season, new fresh outlook on things. And, you know, right down to the kids' hands in class, I thought that was kind of a clever addition to that because, you know, children get a renewed sense of the season as well. It kind of rejuvenates us all, I believe. And that's what I think of that. So Shelley A.B., I thought this was a great piece and a great take on spring itself. So nicely done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And
thank
Weaver,
you.
What did you think?
Well, I thought this was refreshingly interesting and sweet and clever. I liked every stanza, if I'm honest. Everyone was brilliant. But I've got a thing about wind. I love the wind. So when I see something that has the wind in it, I'm drawn to it. When the old wind gives way to the fresh air, as spring sweeps away, winter's cold stare. Beautiful. I like the fact that it's not great big long sentences. It's not too clipped and short. You just have that lovely cadence as you go through it. And it's really well done. It really is. When something can flow like this and you can read it without any stumbling or whatever, I think it's great. I really enjoy it because it gives me a chance not to muck up somebody else's right, if you know what I mean. I hate when I stumble. So very, very well done, Shelley. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. All right. We've got the next poem here. We're back into the contest poetry. All right, here we go.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
All right, here we go. This is by A.R. Mundell. It's called Thaw. A thaw which starts in hands and bones, the lichen of my joints. As the light unfolds, the sounds of ice and bird and stream rustling through the fronds of me, dislodging burrs of dreams. They drift upon the frosty breeze, past snows, a pond cold blue, freezing leaves and branching hands from cotton mouth cocoon. My lungs breathe wind, the crisp wears thin, and soon my spring will come. End poem. I liked it. You know, it was powerful and metaphorical, and I thought she did that with talent. A thaw which starts in hands and bones, the lichen of my joints. As the light unfolds, the sounds of ice and bird and stream. I mean, you can picture all of that as you read it, which is talent to me. I think it's beautiful. And what did you think, Bill?
You know, I think that Amy did a wonderful job with this piece. And I'm with you. I was up at the beginning going, a thaw which starts in hands and bones, the lichen of my joints. As the light unfolds the sounds of ice and bird and stream, rustling through the fronds of me, dislodging burrs of dreams. I thought it was very cool how she slipped herself into this poem and made it completely work. I thought that was just a wonderful take on the concept. And it was very well written. So I have to say, Amy, I thought this was a very, you came off as a very talented write. So thank you so much for the thoughts. Absolutely.
Great comment, Bill. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was a very elegant write. Very, very elegant. Very, it's not precise because that's not the right word to use on something that's so beautifully put together as this is. But it was, I can't even think of one stanza that I like more than any other because they're also, each one of them stands on its own. But again, we have the wind, so let me enjoy the wind. My lungs breathe wind, the crisp wears thin, and soon my spring will come. That's lovely. It's all of it is very, very lovely. And you've done a wonderful job. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. I really enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you. And Shelley AB says, absolutely beautiful piece, perfectly described how spring is the reawakening of nature and of us. I agree wholeheartedly. Absolutely. All right, Bill, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Ruh-roh. Wait a minute. Let me get my... I'm like getting myself where I belong. Okay. Read my contract. I'm only allowed to read 5 lines. Just say it. This is called The Birth of Spring by Wright Blue 7. When dawn is as bright as a button, bringing mornings all but forgotten, we bid farewell to the winter's chill as the sun rises over the hill. In the fields, the cattle are lowing. In the barn, the rooster is crowing. The world wakes with a stretch and yawn to witness nature's wonderful morn. Snowdrops arise through old autumn leaves. Primroses sparkle under the trees. Daffodils waver in gardens and pots. Bees search for nectar in springtime plots. Birds in the treetops burst into song, think season will soon be along. They never tire to impress a mate and build a nest before it's too late. Children wake from their winter dream to play outside in the warm sunbeams. No more huddled near to warm wide fires, they check their bikes and pump their tires. Winter's a prison, they're locked away. Little fresh air and no room to play. The birth of spring brings freedom and fun and lightens the hearts of everyone. End poem. Ooh, yeah.
Beautiful read, Bill. And I really enjoyed the poem, you know. I thought he captured the essence of spring quite beautifully. When dawn is as bright as a button, bringing mornings all but forgotten, we bid farewell to winter's chill as the sun rises over the hill. In the fields the cattle are lowing, in the barn the rooster is crowing. The world wakes with stretch and yawn, to which witness nature's wonderful morn. Just a beautiful poem from start to finish. I enjoyed the whole thing. Winter's a prison, they're locked away. Little fresh air, no room to play. The birth of spring brings freedom and fun and enlightens the heart of everyone. Yeah, just a very beautiful poem throughout. Excellent write and a fantastic read. Bill, what did you
think,
Weaver?
Well, the rhyming was excellent. I mean, it was so well done that you didn't really even, it didn't impinge, you know, it didn't restrain anything. It was just beautifully put together. And I do like a rhyme. I do like a good rhyme. Sorry. Snowdrops arise through old autumn leaves. Primroses sparkle under the trees. Daffodils waver in gardens and pots. Bees search for nectar in springtime plots. Now that's, you know, that's spring in four lines. Beautifully done. I want to see more of Writer Blue's work because this is lovely. So yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I put an R in your handle, sorry. Write Blue 7. Thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And hello, Lou, in the group. And hello, Lou, on the phone line.
Hi, Gray.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Weaver. Hi, Phil.
Hi, my darling.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Hey, Shelley. Hello, Poetic Picasso in the work group. Hi, guys.
Hi, babe.
Did you get a chance to hear that poem that Phil read?
Oh, yes. I thought it was beautiful. I loved her tone of voice as she was reading Wright Blue's poem. My favorite stanza, birds in the treetop burst into song. Nesting season will soon be along. They never tire to impress a mate and build a nest before it's too late. You know, I just, you know, I feed the wild birds and hummingbirds, and, you know, I love opening the door first thing in the morning and just to hear all the different variety of birds just singing with happiness. So this was a beautiful poem, The Birth of Spring.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Phil, what did you think?
You know, I thought it was just gorgeous all the way through. I loved the piece. Great lines and stanzas from beginning to end. You know, I mean, it was just, it was fabulous. It was fun to read. It just rolled off my tongue. I don't even think I tripped over this one. It was amazing. I did have to slow myself down once or twice because you get a little carried away. But these two stanzas, snowdrops arise through autumn leaves, primroses sparkle under the trees, daffodils waver in gardens and pots, bees search for nectar in springtime plots, birds in the treetops burst into song, nesting season will soon be along. They never tire to impress a mate and build a nest before it's too late. Yeah, you know, I took those two stanzas, but I could have picked any stanza out of here and been satisfied with it because they were all really well done. Wonderful imagery and great thoughts. So great job, writer, Write Blue 7. And I hope to see more of your work. Well done.
Absolutely wonderful comment, Bill. And Shelley AB says, love the rhyme here. I'm a sucker for it. And I love how you perfectly describe the countryside of the UK in spring and the escape from winter's invisible prison. So a great comment, Shelley, AB. All right, I've got the next poem up. If you wouldn't mind, please, Leah.
Okay. The Flowers That Bloom in the Spring by Robert Lusk. When I lived in a northern climb, I'd wait for spring to come around. When Mother Nature would say to me, put miracles in the ground. Forsythia, azaleas, and roses would soon begin to reappear. Their varying colors always brought a bushel full of cheer. But when my wife and I retired to the very different sunshine state, spring planting was forgotten. We endured a six-month wait. Begonias and impatiens were new, though their colors could not be beat. They would bloom all through year, then quickly wilt in summer's heat. Planting seasons surely vary. Another thing I must disclose, I miss my northern flowers. Where are my lilac and my rose and poem?
Beautiful read, Leah. And I enjoyed the poem, you know. It takes you on this journey and this move, you know, from the place where Mother Nature would tell him to put marigolds in the ground, where forsythia, azaleas, and roses would soon begin to reappear. Their varied colors always brought a bushel full of cheer. And then he switches to, but when my wife and I retired to a very different sunshine state, spring planting was forgotten, and we endured a six-month wait. And then the penultimate stanza, planting season surely vary. Another thing I must disclose. I miss my northern flowers. Where are my lilac and my rose? Absolutely beautiful poem. And thank you for reading that, Leah. Phil, what did you think?
I'm not ready for you. I'm sorry, Gray. I'm not ready for you.
Okay.
I'll be ready in a few comments.
Weaver, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, I thought it was so well done. And this told a story of somebody who loved his gardening. Well, both of them obviously loved their gardening. And they had obviously an established garden where they lived in a northern clime. And, of course, different weather foundations, different types of flowers or anything will grow. And, you know, it depends on where you are and what the seasons are like. So this must have been, and obviously he had new flowers to plant, new things to see, and that he enjoyed. Obviously he enjoyed that because the flowers sound wonderful. Begonias and impatience, you can hear it in this. Much as he loves where he is and the heat's nice, he misses his northern flowers. I thought that last line was so poignant. Where are my lilac and my rose? Oh, so cool. I really thought this was beautiful. So thank you for sharing, Robert.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Lee, you read it. What did you think?
Well, I thought it was beautiful. You know, the thing with gardening is every state has different types of land and different types of sun. And, you know, sometimes with these delicate flowers that bloom so beautifully, you know, in the area he moved from, you just have to find a way to shade them and to provide a place for them to grow or find a different type of flower to grow that could kind of match what your heart desires. And it is sad. When you move and you have to leave your garden, your flowers, you know, you just want to dig them up and take them with you, but you can't. And I always pray that whoever moves in wherever I live, that they would take care of all my flowers that, you know, that I had planted. And hopefully they did, you know. And for him, I hope they took care of all the work that he and his wife did in their garden.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lee. Thank you. All right. Bill, what did you think?
You know, I thought it was a beautiful share, speaking on the joys of the gardening. A change of area surely changes what flowers you can grow. And our hearts and visuals become attached to those flowers we're used to seeing. And although beautiful, the new flowers that take their place just don't always hit that same note inside of us. And it's kind of sad, you know. I'm talking about how they wilt in the summertime. And you know, it's a whole transition. And, you know, it's just not the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you move across the street from where you were. And then, you know, but I think that this is just beautifully done and a great expression of, you know, what comes to be sometimes. You know, those northern flowers, lilacs and roses. Yeah, honest to gosh. I know I visited Florida and the trees, just the trees alone. It's like, where did they go? Well, there's deciduous trees that I have here in Pennsylvania. You get down to Florida and basically all you see is a whole lot of spruce or you know, evergreen. And it's kind of like, huh? where did those trees go? Well, it's just, you know, yeah, autumn just doesn't work the same there. So, I mean, I kind of get it, and I get it on a different kind of a level, but I totally understand. So beautiful, right? And thank you so much for sharing with us, Robert. It was a great piece.
Yeah. Shelley A.B. says, such a sweet poem about the longing of different seasons in different areas and countries, as well as unpredictable yearly growing environments. Yeah, so, and I'm watching the conversation between Frank and Louie. Frank says, perhaps I should change my name to Floral Frank. And Louie says, wear a flower wreath on your head.
Just like the Romans.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem. If you wouldn't mind reading this, please, Weaver.
Yes, I'd be happy to. I got it. Oh, pink. Lovely. Spring by Ruby G. Will the spring embrace my garden with the joy of blooms to come? Snowdrops in their bridal dresses, crocus and beech low hum, hellebores with tulips nodding, petals turning to the sun, daffodils dancing in borders, slow to greet me one by one, alliums in every colour, pom-poms dancing on a line, interspersed with iris budding, far below the old jade pine, primulas in shades of peacock, full rejoice in warming rays, neath a sky that dreams of summer's everlasting golden days. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And I enjoyed the poem. You know, it really carries you through this floral exposition of spring. And, you know, it has a beautiful flow to it as well. But pom-poms dancing in the line, interspersed with irises budding, far below the old jade pine, primulas and shades of peacock, full rejoice in warming rays, meets a sky that dreams of summer's everlasting golden rays days. Yeah, beautiful poem. What did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought this was a wonderful write by Lulu G. I haven't seen her work in a long time either, and she does just this wonderful job. But there's so many beautiful flowers mentioned in this piece. And the image at the top is one of my favorite flowers ever. So,
yeah,
that pictures me. I love a bleeding heart. I think they're just beautiful, and they come in, I think, three colors: red, pink, and white. They want to tell you they come in, you know, purple, orange, and black too, but red, pink, and white. But it is one of my favorites because, and it is one of the first flowers to pop in the spring. I had a girlfriend who had her grandmother used to garden all the time. And she had them underneath of the bushes on the side of her driveway. And every spring you'd see her snowdrops, her crocus. There was another one she had. And then you would turn the other way and you would see these wonderful bleeding hearts starting to bloom and blossom. So I think that, and she had daffodils everywhere in her yard too. So spring at her house was just like, oh, it was a feast for the eyes. So I totally can relate to all these different images in my head. And I think that Lulu did a beautiful job with this. So thank you so much, Lulu G. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Great work.
Thank you, Phil. Great comment. Mm-hmm. And Lulu, what did you think?
I thought Weaver beautifully read Lulu's poem. You know, I know it's spring, because my mother and my aunt, who are just like crazy gardeners, and when I see my snowbell pop up and I have different varieties, you know, it just makes you happy. You feel that joy, and then, you know, to feel the, you know, even though the air is cold, but the sun is warm, you know, and I've said this before, I have, my aunt gave me Japanese clovers, and they're beautiful, hot pink. And, you know, I see them closed in the morning because they're cold. And then when they open up towards the sun, and they, you know, they follow the sun, you know, and it's something that enchants your soul with such beauty, and then you start seeing, you know, I liked it when she said here, the petals turning to the sun, daffodils dancing in the borders, slow to greet me one by one. And, you know, you do, you look at each individual bloom and, you know, to hear the hum and the bees just, you know, going from them, and it just makes me think of clover honey. It just tastes so delicious. And this was just lovely as it was delightful.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, that was lovely. I agree with everybody. I did enjoy all the different flowers with their descriptions, which was, you know, if you're looking for flowers for your garden, here's the very poem for you. It will tell you exactly what you could get. I thought it was the sweet, sweet thing. Primulas in shades of peacock. Pool rejoiced in warming rays, neath a sky that dreams of summer's everlasting golden days. Yeah. That last few lines perfectly summed the whole thing up. I liked it very much. I thought it was clever. It was pretty. It was lovely. Thank you, Lulu.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right. So I've got the next poem up. This is called A Spring England, or A New England Spring by Dark Night of the Soul. If you've known a New England spring, you found an inconsistent thing. Its warmth makes you do a handspring. Then chilled winds sting. Then chilled winds sting. From Stowe, Vermont to Van Gore, Maine, it snows, it rains, then back again. The New Englanders share their disdain in words quite plain, in words quite plain. Then comes the slush, then comes the mud, and the snowdrifts melting turn to flood. Then a mild squall will still the blood of each rosebud, of each rosebud. So pack your car in Havalad Yard from Birkenshire's throughout Cape Cod. After cold winters, they still laud each spring the fraud, each spring the fraud. And he says in his author's notes, I wanted to write a spring piece and still play with the monotetra form. The last stanza's first line is misspelled on purpose to replicate the way New Englanders often drop their R's and create an ah sound instead. So he did a great job of that. And, you know, such a temperamental thing this spring, you know. It's a spring, is it winter? Is it spring, is it winter? Which is fantastic. Yeah, just a beautiful poem. Excellent, right? And fantastic to read it. What did you think, Bill?
On mute, my dear.
I didn't know I was muted. I'm steady talking. It's terrible when I do that. It's bad enough when I forget, but then when I'm steady into my comment, it's like, damn, you can get a grip. I like the first two stanzas of this. I thought that it was kind of relatable because certain areas, you know, it just isn't cut and dry. It's just not winter and then it's spring. It's like plays back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, Gray, you mentioned Punxsutawney Phil earlier. He is the groundhog. And I heard from his ex-wife that he's a liar. That's what she said. She said he's a terrible liar. He lies about everything. So you can't trust him, she said.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I saw it in the news here online. It has to be true. But yeah, so the first two stanzas really had me in this poem. I thought it was relatable in a lot of ways. And then, you know, when you got down to the last stanza, I had to chuckle because it's Pak the Ka in Havid Yad, because, you know, that's just the accent in New England. So I was like looking at it and I'm going, okay, let's see how Canada attacks this line. But you did a good job. I give you credit about that. You know, it's Pak the Ka. Yeah. So it's parked the car in Harvard Yard. Pretty funny stuff. So I did get a good chuckle out of that last stanza the first time. So nice job, and thank you so much for sharing that night of the soul. I think you did a fine job with this piece.
Great comment, Phil. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, I also enjoyed that last stanza. I have heard that the way they talk. How cool. That penultimate stanza, though, that penultimate was a cracker. So enjoyable. Then comes the slush, then comes the mud, and snowdrifts melting turn to flood. Then a mild squall with still no blood. No, still no blood. Sorry, I've changed it completely. Then a mild squall will still the blood of each rosebud, of each rosebud. Oh, I shouldn't have read it at all. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
no, you did good. I'm not even going to try and park my car in Howard Yard. I won't even bother trying.
Exactly. Well, nice job. I'm impressed.
Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. What fun. Okay, wonderfully done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Liu, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think everybody dealt with this, you know, not all the time are they right about the weather. You know, we'll go from almost 90 to 60 to 70, to almost 90 again, slash it down to 62, you know, and my plants are traumatized. You know, my mom called me. She says, oh, please don't let it freeze. Please don't let it freeze. My peaches are budding. My apples are budding. Everything's budding. And, you know, and this is what happens here. Everything will start budding because it's wintertime, okay, and it warms up, and then this starts budding. Then we get a freeze, and it kills everything. So, you know, it's this constant, you know, we may not always, sometimes we go to snow, but we may not always have this deep of snow like they do in Maine and, you know, New England, you know. So it's just, I feel so sorry for the plants, and I just out there just, you know, just praying for it not to freeze to kill them. It is. It's a love and hate situation all the way through.
Yeah.
Excellently pinned. Great comment. For those who, if you plant flowers, you know this pain.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Liu. Thank you. And Bill, my eyes, would you mind reading the next one?
No, not at all. Hang on, let me find it. By finally, correct? Hey,
yes.
He read my comment. Yay. Longer days by finally. Is the sun coming up early now? Certainly not the temperature. Because, dang, it's still plenty cold. But the ice on the pond cracked with a boom, responding to longer days. And the birds are singing new morning songs, pecking through dirty snow. And would you look at that? All the nibs on all the branches on all the trees encased in ice. But each
one. Aww.
End poem. Yep.
You know, this is the same as the last poem with the, is it winter, is it spring? Is it winter, is it spring? You know, because you've got all these things happening that say it's spring, but then you look and the trees are all encased in ice, which is definitely not easy on the buds, but, you know, they make it through somehow. And nature is a powerful thing, so I thought he captured that quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. And Lee says, poor nibs in the group. Too funny. No, that was a great write. It was an excellent piece, Phil. What did you think, Weaver?
I have the same problem with one of my bushes, a camellia. And it, at the moment, it's got hundreds
Aww.
Of buds on it. But every time there comes a flat frost and we lose it all, they all go brown and drop off. So I know exactly how that feels, because I just want to see it flower. Just, you know, it would be so cool. I think we may have had it 9 years, and I think it's only ever bloomed twice. which is, so I can understand the pain and sorrow you get when you see your beautiful plants just getting frozen and all the little buds are just, that last encased in ice with each one pregnant. Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
That's pathos. Pathos to the nth degree. So we have somebody who loves their garden, which is always a good thing. And as you say, at some point they'll come popping back. You know, they'll eventually harden or whatever. Or just perhaps go for ones that don't, you know, bloom early. But if the sun's coming out early, they don't know where they are, poor souls. Yep,
mm-hmm.
Sad, very sad. So beautifully written on a very interesting subject and telling me more about what goes on in different parts of the world, which is great. So thank you so much for that. Finally, fabulous handle.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, I could just feel this. You know, you know, the days are getting longer. The sun is shining. And then for us, we get these 60 to 75 mile per hour winds that just rip and freeze my little nibs. It just, you know, especially like everybody, I love that last line because if you love plants, you understand how disappointing it is when you think spring's coming and every year you're over there crossing your fingers. There's no breeze, no wind. And so I understand this pain. And I thought she beautifully wrote this. And I really enjoyed the way that Phil read it.
Absolutely. Great comment. All right, Phil, what did you think of the poem?
You know, I really liked the poem. I thought it was beautiful, right, and great job expressing the truth of spring season's change. Because it's just, like I said before, it's not cut and dry. It seldom is. But some places are lucky like that. One day they wake up and it's just spring. Not true of most of them. And I went along with everybody else, and the birds are singing new morning songs, pecking through dirty snow. And would you look at that? All the nibs on all the branches, on all the trees encased in ice, but each one pregnant. But yeah, somehow they do survive, and I agree with you. You know, nature is a powerful thing. So, well said, Gray. Nicely done. So thank you so much, finally. It was a pleasure to read that. Great brevity.
Great comment, Phil. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by myself, Gray Eyes Smith, and it's called Springtime Lullabies. Springtime lullabies resounding in the middle of July. Memories of pussy willow buds and the eager eyes of a baby bird learning to fly. I sit under the hot summer sun, reminiscing to the place where it had begun. End poem. What did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought this was a great piece, Gray. I like how you, it's so relatable in a lot of ways. Springtime lullabies. I love that. I think that's a great title and a great first line. Resounding in the middle of July. Memories of pussy willow buds and the eager eyes of a baby bird learning to fly. What a sweet image that is in your mind. And the picture is precious, you know. You can just be kind of going, and how's this work? I like it. I like it a lot. I sit under the hot summer sun reminiscing to the place where it had begun. I just really like it. I think it was just a wonderful brevity, and I think it had just enough in there to really hit home with everybody. You know what I mean? It was relatable. In a lot of ways. I mean, no, we all don't get to see the baby bird just learning to fly, but we can all relate to that image, you know? And and who doesn't love the pussy willow buds? I mean, I think they're beautiful. There's something about them. Really? No, really, I think they are. They just have a beautiful appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So it all goes together hand in hand. Just wonderful, wonderful work, Bryce. So thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. I mean, thank you, Phil. Yeah. Weaver, what did you think?
You don't even know who that I am.
I like it. I've got I've got a new name. Oh, I like it. Phil Weaver. Phil Weaver. Weaver Phil? No, perhaps not. This is just lovely. This is just so... I'm amazed at how high that little bird can jump. Sorry, it just
so
tickled
cute.
Me. Oh, my goodness. I won't tell you the joke that came into my head, because it's sad.
Oh.
And it wouldn't be that funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So I like you, I think, pussy little buds are very cute. On the way down to the library, there's a great big hedge, and in front of them there's all these little pussy willow buds and things. It's lovely. And, yes, I thought this was very well written. As usual, managing to cram so much using so few words and getting the whole idea across of springtime. I thought it was lovely, and I did love that picture. It's so good. Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Nuyu, what did you think?
I was smiling the entire time that you were reading your little brevity. That picture just, I mean, how can it not endear you to this little bird learning to fly? But I'm going to say something I shouldn't. Phil probably will call me and chastise me later on. But you marked this adult. Is that because you were talking about pussy willows and you were hot under the summer sun?
No,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I got harassed. I'm so sorry. But, you know, I did. I love this poem. I love watching little birds learning to fly, you know, because they build nests up in my vine, which trumpet vine. And, you know, I watch them fall down into the garden and, you know, where they hide in the flowers. And, you know, it's just some, you know, the flowers and little birds and hummingbirds is just something that enchants me. And I know I said that before, but it's true. And this poem is just so cute.
Thank you. I'm going to take the adult off there. Appreciate it. Thank you, Lee.
I know, I caused trouble, sorry, but can't help it.
Would you mind reading the next poem from the next beautiful poet?
Okay. Hold on, I have to refresh. Oh, great. You know, you always put me on the spot. Yes. Gift of Spring Blossoms by Lu Yu Wildes. Worn lettered keyboard, fluid as piano keys, fingertip melodies moved in humming emotions, swirling, twirling, pressing, verbal exhaled crystalline images, long expressions entwining beside others, sweetened in budding branches reaching for luminescent sun rays, perfuming four corners of quiet, silent cathedral walls, prayers under breath whispers float between tired clasped hands, lips move in lonesome, weekly, monthly silence, missing the harmony of laughter, sharing hot, steaming Colombian coffee, the feel of your tight, loving embrace, teaching me by example, cradled in your sanctuary of your loving arms. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. And, you know, I commented on this poem. I said, sacredness incarnate in its extremely beautiful right. Such a beautiful poem. And you did a wonderful job of reading it as well. But
thank you.
I really like verbal exhaled crystalline images, longing expressions entwining besides others, sweetened in budding branches, reaching for luminescent sun rays. Such a pretty picture you paint there. What did you think, Phil?
Thank you.
Well, that's exactly where I was going to go, Gray, right to that stanza. I thought that pulled in the beauty of spring right there. But I have to say, you know, I have to say I love the ending of this poem, right? From missing the harmony of laughter, sharing hot steaming Colombian coffee, all the way down to teaching me by example, cradled in your sanctuary of your loving heart. What a beautiful poem that ties in both of those in such a seamless way. It's wonderful, Lou. Really, it really is. I think
Thank
that
you.
It just, you know, pulls all that together, and it does it beautifully. So excellent job, and thank you so much for having it on the board tonight. I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah, of course. Corey picked it out. Macri.
And you picked one that I wrote on already, so I don't have to write again. But it was wonderful. I really liked it. It's been forever ago, I guess.
Great comment. Thank you, Phil. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, beautiful. Such a neat write. Such a full of depth. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, again, it's that lightness of touch, which I really enjoy. It's a bouncy little piece, and I do, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that first stanza, each tippy-tap, worn lettered keyboard, fluids as piano keys, fingertip melodies, moved in humming emotions, swirling, turmoiling, pressing. Ah, lovely. That is so nice. Yep, I can hear that little typewriter, tippy-tap. Yeah, I thought this was in the picture. Sorry, I used to use them, so I know how they sound, little things. But this is just beautifully written, and every stanza just has layers of perfection. I liked it. Perfuming four corners of quiet, silent cathedral walls. Well, you can just imagine that. You can see that picture in your mind's eye. Ah, lovely. So thank you so much for sharing, Dan. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Weaver. And Louie, would you like to say anything about your poem?
No, I was talking about my mother. Mm-hmm. And this is dedicated to her. And the quote that Phil had put up for a contest just moved me, and it reminded me of my mother, so that's where I went.
That was wonderful. Gotcha. I love the use of the musical instruments in the beginning, and then you moved mm-hmm. in, so I can kind of see all that now, what you're saying that about your mother, the different aspects coming through the poem. So beautiful job, Lou. Beautiful job.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment. Thank you, Lee. Okay, Weaver, I've got the next great poet up. Would you mind reading that, please?
I didn't even know I put one in. How the heck did that
You
come
didn't.
From?
I went and picked it out.
Oh.
It's terrible.
Oh, thank you. That's so good. Does it have a SoundCloud? I thought it had a SoundCloud.
It does. Do you want me to put it up?
Yes, please.
Well, we
have really
have time, actually. If I do that, we won't have time for the poem.
Oh, that's okay. No, I'll read it. I just always manage to muck up my own words. Here we go. Spring. You came to me in spring, unfurled me, as the sun does a flower's petals. A new life began, with thrills beyond my wildest dreams and needs. I breathed you in. Floral notes mingled with your masculine musk. Intoxicated, invigorated. With you, the world I lived in before receded. Summer passes in hot, frantic, pulsating, sensual seconds. I don't give a thought to what fuels the fire. Together we are enough. Our flame is still alight. Autumn brings a change. You are remote and gruff. My first and only love, you leave me alone for hours. I see your eyes stray. You stay away until the morn. I have no choice. I will add to our usual evening libation a little tincture of Lady Belladonna. It acts gently. We'll lose all sensation. I will hold you while our hearts, the beat as one, are stilled. End poem.
Wow. That was such a beautiful but dark poem. Where you, a little tincture of Lady Belladonna, it acts gently. We'll lose all sensations. I will hold you while our hearts, that beat as one, are stilled. dark and incredibly engaging poem. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Beautiful job. And what did you think, Bill?
On mute, my dear.
No, I don't know what happened. I thought I was going to hear a spring poem, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, witness, she's doing them in. Again, she left this woman. But I have to say, you know, you did a wonderful job with the write itself. I mean, you know, it was just well written. But you really had me, my first and only love. You leave me alone for hours. I see your eyes stray. You stay away until the morn. I have no choice. I will add to our usual evening libation a little pincer of Lady Belladonna. We'll lose all sensation. You know, it's not like she just killed him off. I mean, she went with him. So, you know, I give you a high five for that. That was kind of, you know, I told you we're going to be together, and this is how it's going to be. Great job, Kate. I liked it. I really did. Well done.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment, Phil. Thank you. And Louis, what did you think?
Oh, this was penned so beautifully, and at the same time, it's like a dagger to the heart. When, you know, it does, when you fall in love with somebody, it's just fragrant, floral, and those memories stay with you. And not only does that stay with you, but also, to me, this is like an early freeze when you find out that he's a social butterfly, you know, and he just leaves you for hours, and you know you can see what he's doing, and that's just like death. It's death to the heart, where you know you hate yourself for loving this person, but at the same time you wish you didn't love them. And you know, for me to drink from both those cups, it's like something that you share with somebody, but at the same time they don't appreciate what they have. And this is just, right? It's like the Romeo in, you know, Juliet, except Romeo was in another princess castle. You know, it's just so sad. I will hold you while our hearts that beat as one are stilled in those moments when it was like that, you know, and that's what tortures you because it's so encapsulated in your soul. Oh, it makes me sad, besito fever.
I'm so sorry.
Would you like to tell me about your poem?
I do want to apologize for bringing all the fun down to this level. I don't think...
No,
it's okay. I'm only joking. I don't think Ray realized what the poem was when he put it on. He just saw spring and thought it would be like everybody else's spring. Unfortunately, mine is not like everybody else's spring.
That's okay. I appreciate you calling in tonight, ladies. It's much appreciated. And much love, everybody. Have a good night.
Much love.
Good night. Love you guys. Buenas noches.
Good
night, guys.
Good
night,
guys.
I will.
Love you.
Love you. Bye bye, all.
Love you.
Be good.
Bye.
Bye bye. There's a lady telling me to be the...